Who cares?
Nice.
Nice.
All right, so... A bunch of...
Welcome to High Tech Low Life, where today is podcast day, and we're doing a podcast with two guests here. One is named Cloud, and one is named Tony Gunk.
It's definitely Claude and not Cloud.
Yeah, okay, whatever, man. Anyways, let's get straight into it. How was your day today, both of you?
Yeah, it was somewhat productive, just having to work on like summer school stuff. Yeah, I'm kind of finishing up with classes this week.
Ah, man, I would never take summer courses. Not that I have to anymore or anything, but no.
Yeah, my day was also pretty good. I had a dentist appointment, so that's always fun.
Yay.
What'd you get done?
Just routine cleaning, you know.
Ah. Anyways, let's begin. Let's begin with the first topic. Anti-cheat software installing themselves at Ring Zero. So are you guys familiar with Valorant?
Nuvo?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about Valorant for a sec. As you know, Valorant's anti-cheat system, Vanguard, I believe it's called, installs itself along with the game itself. And it starts up whenever your computer does. And if you turn it off, you have to restart your computer in order to get it open again. So, what are your thoughts on software like this? First off, I know Denuvo, anti-cheat is another one, though. I don't believe there's any actual games out right now that have it because they back down.
Some of that stuff is kind of stupid, like. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is like, which used to be a pretty small download for me, including with DLC and stuff. It's now like at 80 or 90 gigs for just like the whole taking the Denuvo software off of it.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the anti-cheat or are you talking about the DRM? Because those are two different products.
I'm pretty sure it's still the anti-cheat stuff, from what I remember.
No, I think you're confusing it with the DRM. Because Denuvo anti-cheat didn't exist back then, back when MVCI came out. I know, because I followed that game. It was hilarious with all of the, like, horrible graphics and, like, the Chun-Li face. Like, I'd have to show you guys later. Anyways, my personal thoughts are that you know how it's a backdoor. Like, everybody's talking about how the NSA wants every company, every tech company, every encryption company in a backdoor into the US can make use of it. So it's not the same level, but in case anybody figures out an exploit to the Vanguard system that Riot uses, you know, it could be a vector, and you know, considering Valorant is really popular, that's a lot of computers that are vulnerable.
I think I do think it's definitely, it feels a lot like it's sort of overkill, almost like it feels unnecessary to have security at such an extreme degree.
Well, like, if you think about it, Valorant is supposed to be propped up as the next big esport. Because think about it. Think about a game like Destiny 2. I don't know if you guys played or not, but in PvP, at the very least, I play the game a lot. At PvP at the highest levels, it's rampant with cheaters everywhere. It's insane. And they do, like, insane stuff. It's not, like, really subtle, like, oh, he can consistently headshot you or whatever, or like wall hacks or whatever. Like, it's like using abilities. It's not even that either. It's using like super abilities over and over again when, you know, there's like minutes of cooldown. And you know, it's insane. It's obviously cheating. And the fact of the matter is that, like, if without an anti-cheat system, games die because of it, because yeah. no one wants to face these cheaters anymore. But at the same time, though, I understand where you're coming from.
You say that. Like, but I mean, I feel like you say that, but then CSGO is still, like, an esports titan despite the rampant cheating.
That is true, though I believe the people that actually play have, well, like, yes, CSGO people Prime. Who
are actually, yes.
Like, I'm grandfathered into the CSGO Prime because I was gifted the game a long time ago. I've never... And also... You can register your phone number with it too. A lot of Eastern countries, like, you know, South Korea and stuff, actually force you to synchronize your social security number as well.
Yeah.
And you know, if you cheat, I mean, you only have one social security number. You're not going to be able to just make another account and continue cheating.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no real solution yet, other than like. Limiting the amount of accounts that people are allowed to make.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, let's move on.
You're already not allowed to do that, but people do it anyway, so.
Yeah
whatever.
So let's move on to the next topic at hand. YouTube bot network stealing your account simply by interacting with the comments.
I think you've mentioned that to me outside of this stuff.
All right. But let's, for the people that aren't familiar with it, there are a series of comments that are like, hey, want to be friends? Or like, hey, good stuff. Also, check out my channel or something. Anyways, it's obvious that there's a bunch of these accounts with the same, like, abstract profile icon and also the same name, too. But when you check out their profiles, which I did in the safety of... you know, a secure setup without any accounts on it. Essentially, what you find out is that these accounts have actually been hijacked, and they're full of, like, I'm assuming these are, like, gullible kids with accounts, because, you know, there's a lot of Fortnite recording gameplay. A lot of them are, former kids who wanted to be Fortnite pros on YouTube, but, you know, got hacked instead. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, this sort of thing's been around for ages. In fact, for a while, a few years ago, if you were a fan on YouTube of Jax Films, it even became a running joke that there were bots specifically in his comments section with usernames like Jax Films Giveaway and shit. That were just like, oh yeah, click this link to get a free gift card or whatever, and they were clearly scams. And it was like they had become so prevalent that at one point he even began acknowledging them in the videos as a running joke that they were definitely totally real and not a scam.
Well, this isn't a new thing. All right, I'm gonna direct you guys to the general chat, so the podcast talk actually. So, here's the thing, though. It's not like a phishing link, like a normal link. It's them being able to somehow just hijack your account just by liking or even commenting on their comment.
Seems greasy.
It is quite greasy. And I'm not going to confirm it because some bigger YouTuber did it for me, and he got hacked, and he still hasn't got his account back.
Yikes.
So I'm not going to risk anything. I deleted all of these comments off of my YouTube channel videos. I could delete all those comments because they're really unsafe.
I haven't seen any, but I will take a look at my channel and see if there's any there.
So from what I've been told, it seems to be a security flaw in Google's SMS checking. I don't know if they fixed or not, but it doesn't seem like they have. But essentially, if you're using two-factor authentication via SMS, I would change to something else. So, aside from that, though, I don't really have much else to say. You guys want to move on to the next topic?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So the next topic is Oscar bait movies.
Oh, man.
What are your thoughts?
All right, so... I've at least gone and seen some, like, some movies that definitely do deserve Oscars, and but there have been some, like, over the years that definitely are like, yeah, it's all right, but nothing worth really getting an award over. I mean, I had to watch Moonlight as one of my school projects for, like, sociology, and that one, and honestly, it's all right, but I don't even get why it won all those awards and stuff.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, do you want to say something, Claude?
Oh, no, I was just going to, well, I was going to say, I definitely have a fair amount of experience with this. I don't want to say qualified to talk about this, but I definitely have a lot of experience being a former film student. And you know, I know I've had quite a lot of experience with, you know, Oscar bait films, and I think it can be fairly easy to spot one, I think, even like from the trailer a lot of times. And it's I don't want to say a cheap tactic, but it's almost like, you know, the Fortnite YouTuber of films, almost, of taking something that is intentionally, you know, sad and just sort of abusing it for, not abusing it, that's a bit too harsh of a term, but, you know, sort of taking it for granted. Because you know that it will, you know, garner sympathy from critics and from the Academy.
All right. So, I mean, it really depends on the movies you're looking at, too, because there are some really good ones. Like, I think The Deer Hunter is probably the most famous Oscar bait movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was the first one deliberately designed to win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
What about Driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I have. It's quite old. Is it Morgan Freeman? I don't remember now.
Yeah, but there's also a ton of movies that, well, it doesn't seem to make sense as to why they're considered Oscar bait when everybody already hated from the onset. Like, you know, Cats? That's technically an Oscar bait movie. But yeah. You know what? Everybody hated it from the onset. Not a single person.
There's always been, I think, a discrepancy between critical acclaim and, you know, public appeal.
But But Cats wasn't critically acclaimed, was it?
No.
But I'm just saying, in general, there's always been that discrepancy that, you know, critics will very often love something or hate something. And to be perfectly honest, and I think this rings true for a lot of mediums, being a professional in a medium kind of blinds you to the joys of the medium. Like, people say, if you love something, never get into the industry. So if you love films, never become a filmmaker. Or if you love video games, never become a game designer. Because it's very easy once you're in the industry to get sort of lost in the weeds. And, like, a lot of people... Like a lot of critics hate, like, you know, popcorn movies of just like garbage action where nothing happens. But a lot of people, that's their favorite genre of movie because it's just fun to watch. And I think that's really where a lot of the discrepancy comes from, is a lot of critics, I think, get very tied up in sort of the technical aspect of, you know, filmmaking and filmmaking as an art rather than filmmaking as an entertainment medium.
Absolutely, I agree. And on this Oscar bait movies, do you guys want to talk about quote unquote Oscar bait equivalents of games? Because that's where our truly agree.
Could we consider Death Stranding from last year? Because,
well, I was going to say the even more topical, and I think, which I'm pretty sure was also on the doc for this podcast to discuss, The Last of Us 2.
Yes.
Or just the original Last of Us, to be exact. Well,
the original Last of Us 2, yes.
Or
the original Last of Us also, I should say.
So, hey, so So spoilers ahead. There in the description, there's there's gonna be a timestamp where we can skip all of the The Last of Us 2 spoilers, because I'm gonna be quite frank, I'm no good at talking about this kind of stuff without spoilers.
That's totally fair, and I think it's hard to discuss this topic without spoilers, I think, to discuss it adequately.
I mean, but then again, this game's also been out for like a month now, so
that's fair, but
I mean, if you haven't, fair, but still.
But also, video games are $60, and not everyone has $60.
Game kind of going viral.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to spoil anything for anyone that still wants to play the game but can't afford it.
Yes,
You know.
Anyways, let's talk about let's get to it. So the last two, definitely the Oscar bait version of it.
Yeah.
Death Stranding is weird. I've never existed as a concept without Sony or Kojima.
Yes. So
I'm willing to give Death Stranding the benefit of the doubt.
I'm going to say right out the gate, I am in the controversial camp of I actually quite liked Death Stranding, and I know a lot of people disagree with that. I have the game. I quite enjoy it, actually.
I really want to actually get my hands on Death Stranding and play it for myself. From what I've seen, you know, it looks like a walking simulator, but it's like as you go on, you get more stuff, and it at least opens up as you go on.
I'd say it as a game in the walking simulator quote unquote genre. I would say it is absolutely the most in depth in that walking is genuinely a mechanic.
It's literally like,
genuinely like analyze the terrain that you're about to. It's like literally like a hike simulator is what Death Stranding is. It is a hiking simulator, basically.
And you can also use like pee and poop bombs on like these weird ghost
monsters. Yes.
All right. I do plan on playing this on PC though. I haven't played it yet, despite the fact that I have a PS4. The PS4 I have is mostly just a Bloodborne box. Let's be quite frank. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, back onto the whole thing of Last of Us 2 though.
Yes.
So the Last of Us 2. Gameplay wise,
it looks fine,
but. We're not talking about gameplay. No one cares about the gameplay, let's be honest.
Well, let's get that right out of the way, right out the gate. Mechanically and graphically, it is probably one of the best games that's going to come out this year. It looks phenomenal. I'm someone who, even when I don't like something, I like to be as fair as possible and give it as much of a benefit as the doubt as I can. Graphically, it looks phenomenal. It is an amazing-looking game. Gameplay-wise, I haven't played it personally, but from what I've heard, it's more of the same, and I have played the first game, and the first game is pretty good, gameplay-wise. It's not perfect, but it's not terrible, and I assume they've made some quality-of-life changes. But as you were saying, Star, those are not the things that everyone is talking about. What everyone is talking about is, of course, the story.
So let's get this out of the way first. No one involved with this channel is a homophobe or a transphobe. No,
very much the opposite, in fact.
Or a racist, or like any of the like bigoted things that people want to call other people for criticizing the game.
Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of getting triggered by us being like, by what we're about
no need for that language.
Any criticism, we gotta say, well, you know.
Let's actually talk about the game now. So every single sequel wants to try like a sort of Metal Gear Solid 2 twist. So have y'all ever played Metal Gear Solid 2?
Myself,
not personally. I have a friend who is very into Metal Gear, so he has told me about it very much. About as much as someone who has played it.
So, you know, the most infamous thing about the game is the fact that you don't actually play as Snake, except for, like, maybe a few times. You play as Raiden mostly, and he was never featured in any of the advertising. You know, some people might say false advertisement, but it ties in really with Metal Gear Solid 2's story themes.
I think so. I think something very similar to that is this is a minor tangent. I think very similar to that is the Simon Pegg film that came out a few years ago, World's End, which was which was billed as like a reunion story about a bunch of friends getting together and doing a pub crawl for their last hurrah as old college or high school friends, and that was all that the advertising said it was about. It was about these old friends getting together and going and doing shenanigans and hijinks one last time as they all got drunk. And when you actually went to see the movie, as it turned out, the movie was actually about an alien invasion. Yep. And that was a complete left field twist that wasn't foreshadowed at all. Well, it was foreshadowed, but you would have no way of knowing that's what the movie was about until it is revealed that there are aliens. And that, I think, I think, you know, is it false advertising? Maybe, but I think it is. It does what it wants to do in that, like, movies don't do that anymore, where they don't tell you something like crucial to the plot. I think it's like a lost art of springing surprises on the audience. It doesn't happen very often.
So Halo 2 did this as well when it first came out. No one knew they were going to play as the Arbiter, and you know, people definitely warmed up to the Arbiter towards the end of the game because, as you know, the Master Chief was still there plenty, and you got to play as him plenty. Uh-huh. And he got most of the better levels anyways. So how do you feel? So now that, you know, the cat's out of the bag, everyone knows that you play most of the game as Abby. What are your thoughts? Do you think they did this whole thing properly?
I definitely think that this was calculated, but poorly. I think it was. it's hard to like articulate how I feel about this. I think it feels very much like they have missed what was so impactful about The Last of Us 1, because I think we can't talk about what went wrong without talking about The Last of Us 1. The Last of Us 1 was a very morally gray game. It was on the lighter side, but it was very morally gray, and it had a very dark and morally ambiguous ending. And I think they kind of misunderstood what about that was impactful, because it feels a lot like because a lot of people drew parallels to The Road, the novel, which is a very dark book about how bad humans can be at their worst, which is a very similar thing, except in that book, the apocalypse that happened is much more ambiguous, but it has a very similar plot line. And I think really what happened is that they sort of missed the mark a lot. And I think they saw that the misery and the, you know, feeling emotions is quote unquote art. And I think, I really think that it's, they went too hard on trying to make it art, in very heavy air quotes.
Man. So,
I mean, there's, no, go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, so I have a lot to say about that. So, yes, it's been a debate whether or not video games are art. And, you know, a lot of people that are, like, people that play video games want to say that it's art because, I mean, but most of the people say that because it just sounds like it legitimizes their thing as if, like, you know, like, because I guarantee you, your parents tell you to stop playing video games because they think it's like a thing for kids, right? I don't know about your parents, but like most like
this morally.
Mine personally, no, but that's because, I mean, my father actually still plays video games.
Same
to this
here.
Day.
Well, anyways, so yeah, I do agree that. So I do agree that The Last of Us 2 went super hard in this art direction, but at the same time, though it really, like, the morally gray stuff is gone, as you all expected. Abby is the white to Ellie's black, and I mean, come on, let's think about it.
Is revenge morally white? I don't know if I would say revenge murder is morally white.
Let's be quite frank. Abby is
I think what the directors want you to feel is that Abby is the morally white of the two characters. But I think that's part of the problem, is that they have aggrandized their own ideals to a point where they're a bit blinded by the reality of what's going on in the story.
Well, let me just finish my thoughts.
Go ahead.
Abby is the closest thing to a Mary Sue that The Last of Us has.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
She feels very much like she came out of nowhere for no reason.
Yes. Just kind of aside from her having to kill a ton of people to defend herself, and you know, killing Joel out of revenge, there's a lot of heavy favoritism on her. She gets a lot of the better. She gets a lot of the better weapons and better upgrades, and she also gets to hang. And there's also the scene where you get to hang out with all of the dogs, and she gets to pet all of the dogs. And you know what happens to the dogs? You play as Ellie, and you have to kill them as Ellie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really makes me mad because I understand that.
The dog.
It really makes me mad though because they've like destroyed this whole morally gray aspect.
Yeah. There's a prevailing theory in pretty much every medium, which is hotly contested and I am very much against, but there's the prevailing school of thought that if it makes you feel something, then it's art. And I think there's something to that, but I think people think that too strongly, in that if something's just unpleasant in like every sense of like I know there's a lot of short films which are just unpleasant to watch. There's just nothing enjoyable about them. They like can hurt your eyes to look at. And a lot of people argue that that is art because it made you feel something, but it is art, but it doesn't really have value though. Like what is there to gain from having watched or played or read something that not only didn't interest you, but just made you feel bad for the sake of it, not to teach you a lesson or to, you know, talk about a heavy subject, something that just felt bad to interact with for the sake of making you feel bad and nothing else? What value does that have?
And that my thoughts. Oh, sorry. You haven't talked a lot, have you?
Yeah, I have my own personal thoughts about this. So, I think that the whole thing is that they were trying to go with the whole thing of, like you guys said, making Abby the sympathetic character, but they just ended up. But, you know, it's like, you see this person that you see kill your favorite character off, and you're like, oh man, I hate him. You go through the whole game, and then you switch on over to Abby for, like, what, 8 plus hours, longer than what you do with, like, with alien stuff. And it's supposed to be, like, this whole thing of you're going to sympathize. Oh man, it's the person you're supposed to sympathize for. She's not all bad, but, you know, but we all know that it's like, she killed off my favorite character. I don't want to play as this person. I want to beat this person up. Mm-hmm. And we don't even get the satisfaction of that at the end, by the way. So, and with Ellie, she's not exactly a perfect character either, but I didn't really see much of growth for her character outside of right at the end where it was like, where's Joel being like, don't go down my own the path I went down and stuff and trying to do that. But it's like at the end, it doesn't really matter because all that stuff was like a big flashback.
Mm-hmm. But I would make the argument that Ellie by herself, even in the first game, wasn't that compelling of a character without Joel. Because, I mean, Joel was definitely the most compelling character of the game. Yeah. Because,
I mean, he was the protagonist.
And he was the most fleshed out character, even with, you know, Ellie having a whole DLC to herself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that whole DLC is on its own little bucket of worms.
Yeah, so let's also talk about, but like Joel drove the first game, and
he was basically like the heart and soul. Yeah.
I think Ellie was definitely charming, but she wasn't like the driving force of the game. Yes, she was a fun character to be around, but she wasn't like the heart of the game.
And I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I was gonna be honest. I predicted Joel would die. Straight up.
Yeah.
I'm not mad that he's dead because I knew it was going to happen.
I definitely also saw that coming, yeah.
But I can't help but feel like they could have done it in a better way. There's a billion ways it could have happened written by a bunch of people that like really enjoyed the first game as well.
Yeah. I feel like on-screen murder by a character you then have to play as is definitely one of the least ideal ways to kill off the beloved protagonist of your first game.
And also, this whole thing about them trying to make Brulo's power to make you feel terrible about it, I mean, no, that doesn't work because it's essentially trying to falsely manipulate you into that narrative, but you don't have the option of not killing.
Mm-hmm.
It works in Metal Gear because, you know, as you would have it, Metal Gear has ways around it. It has non-lethal options to take your opponents down. You don't have to kill anyone. Games trying to make a message about what I'm doing is wrong, it doesn't work. Like Undertale. Everybody's playing Undertale. Basically, the big behind Undertale is that you can choose to either kill or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most people choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Can
you believe that can you believe that like an indie game gives you more choice?
I feel like for a while now we've definitely been in, I would say, like a golden age of indie games where for like a while I'd say most indie games there have been a lot of indie games with as much if not more value than the AAA titles that have been coming out in recent years.
Yes, of course. I mean I don't know, man. The Last of Us, they should have done better.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the most polarizing game of this generation.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
But
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's that polarizing because, to be perfectly honest, I haven't heard that many arguments in defense of it.
I've heard quite a few.
I've heard a few, but like, I wouldn't say it's that polarizing because for the most part, I think the majority of people have fallen on the negative side. Not liking it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And it's another one of those games with the discrepancy critics and the users. I mean, like it's super highly rated on Metacritic and there's a lot of stuff going on, especially with like people believing that Metacritic is deleting all these, like, you know, review bombings, but they're not deleting the positive review bombings as well. That's another can of worms that we could talk about later.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It is what it is.
But let's get this. It doesn't beat Bloodborne as the PS4 exclusive.
Absolutely not.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
There's also Ghost of Tsushima that's supposed to be coming out, I think, this week.
I saw it. And the gameplay looks kind of meh at best. It's not Bloodborne.
Looks kind of like Breath of the Wild with samurai ninja stuff.
I haven't seen it.
I've seen it. It looks like Assassin's Creed with samurai.
Well, Assassin's Creed isn't bad, though. Assassin's Creed is good.
Yeah, but
it wants to be.
Yeah, but it's just meh, honestly.
That's fair.
It looks meh. I mean, I haven't played the game yet, and I kind of do want to play it, because it looks really cool, though. The art style, like, the graphics look great. I think it looks better than The Last of Us 2, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, yeah. Anyways, let's move on to the next topic. We've talked a lot about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's talk about anonymity and the total loss of accountability.
Ooh, fun.
So, as you know, the early days of the internet, you could be anyone you wanted. You could put a username. You could put a username, and that's it. No one knows a thing about you. No one knows.
I mean, that's still the case, somewhat.
I mean, yes, but a lot of people, in an attempt to chase fame and clout, and you know, be like an influencer, have decided to forego this.
And then people are basically being.
And also, people, you know, despite the fact that you might not know any of their personal information, people have become attached to their persona, their identity, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure you all have too.
Somewhat.
Like you all use the same usernames, if possible, in games, right? Like, if
yeah, games, I'm like, trying.
Yeah. Anyways, so what are your thoughts on this loss of accountability for anonymity? You can say whatever you want without any consequences, as long as no one tricks your IP.
Yeah, this has been sort of an ongoing thing since the early days. I mean, let's get right down to it. Let's not beat around the bush. This is the most prevalent of all time in, of course, 4chan of all places.
Ah, yes, 4chan.
Let's not pretend that when talking about anonymity lets you say whatever you want, that we're not somewhat, even like in passing, talking about 4chan, because that's one of the most, like, the most prevalent places where this occurs.
And so I also wanted to talk, do you have anything you wanted to say, Tony?
Like, honestly, it's not, I'm not really too big on this stuff, but it's like, also anyways. I think of like, having like internet privacy, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I don't want anyone trying to like, know who I am online and trying to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the second half of the question that I didn't actually write down.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the disappearance of anonymity and the birth of the persona, the birth of the internet persona. Like I go by Starlogical in most games, in most stuff that I actually have played, or like stuff like that. And as of that, despite the fact that no one really knows who I am, they know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are your thoughts on everybody just not having any sort of anonymity or privacy, for that matter?
I think that's like some Orwellian stuff that could end up happening in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, have y'all ever read a book called I think it's called The Circle or.
I have not. No, what is it?
Oh, no.
So basically, it's a book about this whole transparency thing. It's a dystopian novel by David Eggers.
Oh,
essentially, it's about this girl who starts working for.
They made a film about this.
They did. I read this for college too. Mm-hmm.
I do know what you're talking about now. But yes, go on. For the people at home who haven't read this book.
So she starts working at this company who is basically this powerful technology website.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically Google.
Nondescript, yes. Nondescript website that everyone uses.
Yay.
And they make all sorts of technology. Mm-hmm. However, she becomes more and more involved in this company's, I guess, transparency, no secrets, mm-hmm. sort of.
And then she goes down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I'm not gonna say much more, but yeah, read the book and mm-hmm. maybe watch the movie. I haven't watched the movie yet, actually.
I have also not seen the film, but I know what it's about because I know the book somewhat.
Yes. So, anyways, let's move on to the next topic.
Mm-hmm.
Performance enhancers being sold and advertised by gaming influencers.
Mm.
Why would this you?
An interesting one.
So,
what enhancements would you need for playing video games?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yes, that is the thing.
Because video games are not inherently a physical sport, so. But I believe a lot of it is
messing around with your brain chemicals or something.
Yes. Well, no, I believe a lot of it is natural supplements, as it were, that are increased focus or hand eye dexterity. Yeah.
So I'm about to reminisce for a second. I remember when Game Fuel was a thing. It was just a flavored Mountain Dew, but it was the most awesome thing ever. Probably because Halo 3 came out around that time. And I was in middle school, man. It was great.
I remember that era. I was a bit young for that era, but yeah. I believe I'm a bit younger than you. A few years. Yeah, not by a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a great time, man. I mean, it wasn't pretending to be this sort of energy supplement meant to help me focus or whatever. It was just the cherry flavored Mountain Dew.
Do you play video games? Do you like soda? Drink this video game soda. It won't help you play video games, but it's good.
Drink the magical gamer juice.
Yeah, but like now, yeah, they're selling like tubs of like G Fuel and stuff. It's like some sort of like formula. Like, you know, Tang? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, you know, the powdered stuff, Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. You ever drink the Kool-Aid before? I haven't, but, you know.
I have.
I haven't
drinking. Kool-Aid powder? I used to love that shit.
I haven't drinking the Kool-Aid, though. You know, the kind of.
No, not the Kool-Aid, but I have drank actual Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but so basically it's like that, but it's meant to, like, help you focus. And, like, there's a ton of these influencers that, like, for whatever reason, they're advertising this crap.
And yeah, so, I mean, I feel like it comes with the territory of esports being a relatively new field. It's you know, there's not super established norms at the moment. Even back in the day, like, you want to talk about, like, some of the most famous, like, baseball players. Like, let's not pretend we don't all know that Babe Ruth did a shit ton of steroids before that was illegal. Before that was against the rules to do. Like, he was so good because he was on a bunch of performance enhancers, and that was just because those were the early days. So
I have here some nutritional value stuff. Actually, it's supplemental facts. So, it's zero calories for one scoop. This is for advanced.gg stuff. Sponsored by Mcash, a famous Destiny player.
Should mention also that a lot of things that say they are zero calories, because of the way the FDA works, you can round down if it is under a certain amount.
So yes, that's true.
That does not actually mean no calories, you can drink as much as you want.
Should they be they shouldn't be advertising this crap, because, you know, they know that a lot of kids watch their stuff. It's not for kids, but, like, come on. This is one step away from being steroids.
This is video game steroids. Well, I mean, I suppose it depends on what, because I don't personally know enough about the contents of these drinks. And, you know, I don't know enough about them personally to be able to say if it is or isn't. But I think the trend of marketing products to children has been ongoing for a while.
I'm just saying they should take some accountability. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm just saying
you're right. It is somewhat sketchy that these people who clearly their audience is a younger audience are marketing things which are not intended for younger audiences.
And also, like, yeah, so I'm looking at the ingredients list, and, you know, I know you don't know anything about these supplements, but do you happen to know anything about energy drinks in general? You know, Monster?
Somewhat.
Red Bull?
I don't drink any of them.
I know that I avoid them.
I don't drink any
of them. So they share a lot of the same ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I mean, which makes sense because it's meant to be, like, one of those things. But, like,
mm-hmm.
If you're allowed to take, where does it stop? If you're allowed to take this stuff to help you focus, what's stopping someone from, like, taking a bunch of Adderall?
Well, that's exactly the argument, I think. Yeah.
Where does this madness stop? And I mean, how can you stop it? We're online. No, like, mm-hmm. if we were playing a game right now, you versus me, mm-hmm. and you don't know what my face looks like. You don't know what my setup looks like.
Yeah.
How do you know that I'm not just like some drugged out Adderall like freak of nature?
I mean, yeah, that's totally fair. I mean, how do I know you're not using macros? How do I know you're not cheating? It's the same, really. It's just unregulated is what it is. It's not there's no official rules about this kind of thing. It's not regulated because it is a fairly new field.
I don't know. I don't know. Just something feels wrong about this. And, you know, mm-hmm. as much as I have no authority, nor am I an influencer or anything of the sort yet,
mm-hmm.
I just can't help but feel
concerned
when I see this stuff being advertised, this mm-hmm. crap being mm-hmm. peddled, especially by these pro players. I mean, they're advertising it like they're sponsored, but do they mm-hmm. use this stuff, or are they just really good without it?
I don't know.
We should that should be the first thing they should talk about, is if they actually drink this stuff themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So, anyways, let's move on to the next topic. The Twitch music apocalypse.
Oof.
So, do you guys know anything about this?
I know.
Yeah, I've only heard Tony, about like, the stuff that's been going on with like Dr. Disrespect and
how so that's this been. Was, so this was actually before Dr. Disrespect got banned. I don't mm-hmm. I don't know much. I don't know much about him to say anything about that. But essentially, this happened to YouTube several years ago when people mm-hmm. were making videos with like all of this like copyrighted music that didn't belong to them. And now mm-hmm. Twitch, and now you see a bunch of like Twitch streamers. I don't really like Twitch streamers, so I don't watch a lot of them. But I can tell you that they play a lot of definitely not royalty free music. Definitely so copyright.
I do watch probably not a lot, but quite a bit of Twitch streamers. I watch quite a few. I'm not going to name names because I'm not going to promote other people on your podcast.
Thank you.
But even though I did that earlier, but we'll pretend I didn't.
I'll pretend I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff like, you know, media shares and background music. It's not like people on YouTube were definitely intentionally uploading other people's music for their own personal gain.
Yes.
Whereas I think the Twitch audience is, or the Twitch streamers are, it's a lot more genuine, and it's a lot more of the argument that people on YouTube who weren't just stealing music had of you know, like of stuff should be in the public domain, and we want to just like because a lot of it is like entire videos getting taken down, like back when this happened to YouTube, like entire videos get taken down because you're in a public place and a song plays and you have no control over that. Like someone walks by playing a song on their phone and Content ID catches that and flags your entire video. And that's an issue. But on Twitch, a lot of what's happening is just music played as background music or, you know, music that is part of, say, a game. Like if someone's playing a game and the music gets flagged from that game that they're playing.
Like if I'm playing GTA 5 and...
Yeah, and that game is full of licensed music.
Am I gonna get copy striked for that?
Yeah. And I think that's... A lot of that is a lot more... It's a lot more good-spirited. It's not... So I think it's a lot... It's definitely a different landscape, I think.
Okay, so... Music and like stuff like that can be... used if it's transformative. That isn't really a transformative use of music. It's like,
I mean, that's totally fair. Yeah,
and you know, the law is the law, and and you know, I feel bad for these guys because they want to use like their favorite K-pop or like their favorite pop or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, they can't, and they should learn to adapt. The unfortunate side effect, though, is that it seems like they have to delete all of their like. Streams and clips.
Yeah,
and stuff.
All of their VODs are being basically almost everyone is losing a lot of their VODs. And
well, and it is unfortunate, but that's just kind of how it is. And people should suck it up because I mean that's YouTubers have had to deal with this stuff for years. And personally for me, I always be certain to use copyright-free music, like royalty-free music. Even if it is just all lo-fi stuff, which is, you know, lo-fi. But you just have to learn to adapt. That's all I can say. Do your due diligence. They taught me this in school too when I had to do projects and I wanted to use music. They always said that you should use royalty-free stuff because you can't use copyright materials.
They said, go on to Incompetech and use Kevin MacLeod like everyone else.
Ugh.
Guys, remember Kevin MacLeod?
Actually, I get permission from some... I get explicit permission from some artists. Have you heard of Burbank's music?
I have not.
I'm sure you've heard that one song. I think it's called Sorry I Like You or something like that.
I may have, I don't know.
Let me link it real quick. I'm sure you you'll recognize it.
Well, like the one I mentioned is probably like one of the most famous royalty-free music creators.
Kevin MacLeod?
Yeah, Kevin MacLeod. Kevin McLeod? Yeah, Cloud? I think it's Kevin MacLeod.
Yeah, I'm not using that yet.
No, I'm just saying it's one of the most...
Yeah, I understand. Anyways, the moral of the story is they should just adapt.
Just adapt like we do.
It's like what Charles Darwin said. It's not the strongest nor the smartest that survives, but the most adaptable. I probably paraphrased it, but that's okay. So let's move on to the next topic. GitHub. Renaming master code to main code, and Chromium renaming blacklist and whitelist to blocklist and allow list, respectively.
Okay, right. Okay. That's just stupid stuff, you know. Because who cares? We use this stuff all the time. I don't really care. It's people going crazy about social justice stuff.
Yeah, I see where it's coming from, but it just feels reactionary.
Just like people trying to get rid of Eskimo pies and Aunt Jemima.
Eskimo pies? I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, they apparently started getting rid of Eskimo pies because of, Eskimos being not a very nice term to say for the Inuits.
Technically Inuits, yes.
What's an Eskimo pie?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Hang on. I thought it was something like moon pies.
I know what a moon pie is.
Yeah, I know what a moon pie is. I've never heard it called that before.
I've never heard it called
that. Eskimo pie is like an ice cream thing.
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of it.
Like one of those little...
Like I said, it might be a regional thing.
I've heard of Aunt Jemima, though.
Yeah, that's a brand of maple syrup.
Yeah,
and a pancake, too. And a bigger one.
Oh, yeah, and pancakes.
The Redskins are kind of going through with their whole name change.
So, well, that's...
It's all reactionary. I don't believe for a second that these companies are genuine.
I don't believe that they're genuine, but I think the people's want to do this in the first place, I think, is somewhat baseless. There's no... Like, it's very assumptive that these terms ever had anything to do with what they're claiming in the first place.
The whole Aunt Jemima thing started when this one TikToker person made some sort of TikTok about how Aunt Jemima's racist, and yeah, she was really hot. She was already an influencer.
What you gonna do, turn Aunt Jemima into a white woman? That's right. I'd say that's racist.
All right.
That's the gray area of it. Like, if you replace Aunt Jemima, like I'm pretty sure Aunt Jemima is like the name itself is some sort of like stereotype. I'm not really sure what it is, but
yeah,
I've heard it's some sort of like nickname for like some sort of stereotyped black woman.
Hmm.
We're not saying black here, right? Not African American or black.
Yeah. I think it's all right to say that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, man. But if you replace Aunt Jemima, the name can go, I guess. You can just name it whatever. But if you replace the black lady with like a white lady, I mean, like, what does that say?
Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna do that. That seems like not something that's gonna happen.
That actually seems a lot worse, actually.
Yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen.
But what about if they replace it with like the new progressive like view of black women, you know? Like a black lady wearing like business gear instead. I don't know how that would look.
I don't know. It's just weird. Just people being weird on the internet trying to say they're trying to do stuff for a good cause and trying to fight racism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes this stuff ends up turning into a thing of they're actually trying to bring back racism and segregation.
Who is?
I'd say it's all the people that are trying to do all this stuff.
I wouldn't say much more, man.
I would not say much more than that. We'll just keep it at that. We're here for sake of YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, man. I bet you that like in like 10 years, someone's gonna dig this crap up and they're gonna try to cancel you, dude.
Nebulous they.
Yeah. So what?
As for GitHub, we're naming it from master to main. The idea behind that is that master is supposed to have this connotation with slavery, and yes, absolutely. And, I mean, absolutely, though. But slavery wasn't about race. It was about class standing.
I mean, also, I feel like that's not, like, at all, like, that's a homophone. I feel like it's not the same definition. It's not implicitly has anything to do with slavery. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's, like I said, it just feels reactionary. It doesn't feel genuine. It feels like people are just saying things and companies are damage controlling, even though it's like baseless claims.
Like, what about the other definitions of master too? Like, what if you're learning learning a skill from a master and you have to address them as like master or whatever, or you're learning martial arts. aside from you know, being sensei or like teacher or whatever, or sifu or whatever, mm-hmm. sifu or whatever, you have to. Some people call them like master last name.
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So everything seems centered around race politics is definitely centered, definitely around
mm-hmm.
African American people. But what about mm-hmm. what about me? What about someone like me? I'm not white.
I'm
Asian.
What about people who are like mixed race, where I'm part eight, I'm part Filipino, part, but I'm also mostly white.
You're part mm-hmm. Filipino.
Where do mixed people lie in all of this? Like,
mm-hmm. well,
if you were someone who has,
if it were old Asian, the old world, mixed people wouldn't have a place. They wouldn't. They'd be in between two different worlds, and they would never truly belong in one or the other. That's old mm-hmm. school Asian thinking. So, anyways, let's move on to this before this gets too racist.
All right.
Or just too sensitive.
Maybe we'll just cut that whole bit out. Just cut that out of the podcast.
Yeah, but let's talk about this even more sensitive topic.
Oh, boy.
EVO Online canceled, and the then EVO host, Joey Sueller, or Kueller? I don't know. AKA Mr. Wiz, was outed for abusing children and pedophilia in the Smash Bros. Community. Thoughts?
I mean, let's be honest. Are we really surprised that there were pedophiles in the Smash community?
No, but
a lot of insensitive.
Bigger players that we've seen, I've been hearing about getting canceled left and right because of this stuff.
It happens. What? I'm not trying to make light of a very dark subject, but I mean, it's almost, at this point, it's almost to be expected, and that in of itself is somewhat depressing, I think, that this sort of behavior is now to be expected in any field. I feel like we really need to figure out what's going on, because...
It's hard to do. I mean, these sort of people have basically everything. They have the dream job. They get paid playing video games. And I mean, mm-hmm. like, these people, not saying everyone that's like rich or famous or has power does this sort of stuff, but like some people need their sick kicks. And what's sicker kick than a kid? I mean, I'm actually genuinely surprised that the Smash community wasn't outed earlier for this. Because, I mean, like, there's more kids in the Smash Bros. Community than there are in other, like, big scenes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean... Even before this massive exodus in 2020 happened, I mean, there was this one major one with this one kid named Captain Zach, apparently having dated some guy named Ally,
mm-hmm.
and apparently blackmailed the guy in forcing him to, like, max fix matches and stuff. They both were promptly banned. Anyways, and, you know, well, the bigger one is that the EVO host, Mr. Wiz, was out asking kids to paying the kids to send pictures of, well, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not cool, man.
What it's dark and it's not good. I mean, what really more is there to say other than that's messed up? And boy, I'm upset that this is still happening in 2020.
Mr. Epstein died doesn't mean it's gonna mm-hmm. stop.
It's important that we talk about that this is happening, but at the end of the day, like, what is there to say? It's...
Have you guys heard about this Guy House?
Yes.
Guy House?
So... there's this one YouTuber, not even a pro Smash player, named Sky. He used to be friends with Dunkey, but not anymore. Essentially, he ran a house where minors and like adults lived and had to pay rent. Or if they didn't pay rent, he would just go in their room and smash their stuff. Or he would physically threaten them with violence unless they could take him on. Then he would call the police. And essentially, there's rumblings about him allowing these adults to abuse these kids that also live under. You know, it's like the Smash Bros. Version of Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, I mean,
I heard the other thing where it was like he was faking. I think his dad having cancer.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Get a crap ton of money for
this
like.
This isn't the first time someone's pulled that one, though.
And he got all the money for like PP enlargement, surgery, and stuff.
Who was it? I forget. Who was it? Who claimed to be who claimed to have a lost motor function in their leg, in their lower half, basically, like in their legs, and got a whole bunch of donations from people, and then just live on stream forgot to turn the camera off and got up out of his wheelchair and walked away.
Oh my god, Dad, you don't have paralysis anymore.
Yeah, I don't remember, that was someone, I don't remember who that was, but I remember that happened to someone, and that was just like, Man. Boy, people are scummy. It's just a fact of life. People are scummy. It sucks, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that reminds me. Have you heard the story of this one GoFundMe where there's this couple who got stranded and they needed gas for their car and some homeless guy gave them his last 20. And they were so inspired by this movement that they made a GoFundMe for the guy. And a bunch of people donated. Guess what happened?
Not actually homeless.
No,
They so essentially, all the money.
So basically, here's the thing. Yes, they were taking the agreement was that they all shared the money, but they started taking more and more of his share, doing things, and people had noticed that they were going on like vacations, like buying stuff with all this money that they apparently didn't have, and then he decided to take them to court for that, and then they found out that he was in on this all along too. I guess he wasn't homeless. I don't really know if he was or not for real. But yeah, it's a crazy conspiracy. That's why if you want to help someone, never give them money. Or if you want to give them money, never give them something you're uncomfortable with. If you're okay with giving them money, never expect the money back. If they pay you back, sure, whatever. But never expect them to pay you back, ever. Now, let's move on to the next topic. Anime. Making anime on inherently non-Japanese media properties. What are your thoughts? So, I can give out some examples that existed in the past, like the Animatrix is one, Halo Legends.
I mean, apparently getting an anime by Studio Trigger.
Wait, what? You cut out, dude.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk 2077 is getting an anime by, and Studio Trigger's the studio doing the whole thing.
Yep. See what else. There's also Korean manhwa that was made into anime. Ragnarok is one, and also they're making some on Korean webtoons now, such as Tower of God. Yeah. Tower of God is so good.
I heard about what happened, but I've seen happens at the end, but I've only seen like the first couple episodes, and it's all right.
Yeah.
Not really.
It's so good, man.
I mean, I don't think there's anything inherently bad about it. It's just a style, right? Like, what's so wrong about that? I think it's interesting to see things in a new style.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty cool too. And it's pretty cool that they're expanding out. Crunchyroll is bankrolling these studios for these Korean manhwa-based animes. They're also doing God of High School and...
I've heard... I've watched a lot, like something that's supposed to be like from the first episode from it. That animation from that whole fight, one fight scene is clean, man.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But essentially, and I mean, Crunchyroll is bankrolling all of this stuff too. It's crazy, man. Mm-hmm. They should do more of this stuff instead of like that one High Guardian Spice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that show coming? I thought it was like something where they had shown like their coming attractions, and that was supposed to be one of them.
It was delayed.
Where is that show? It's been
it was delayed to 2020, and then 2020 happened, and now we don't know. But it's better if they just don't release it and just focus their talents on getting the other stuff made more. I saw the trailer, and the trailer had no animation from the anime itself. It just had a bunch of, like, American people talking about diversity and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, like, but show us the animation. I want to know more about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks like Little Witch Academia, kind of.
Mm.
Did you say My Hero Academia?
No, he said Little Witch Academia.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about that anime. I just know that it exists.
I don't like most of Trigger's work at all, actually.
I'll be real. I don't watch a ton of anime, personally.
I haven't watched anime. I haven't watched, like, super mainstream anime in, like, years, but...
Yeah, I mean, the last anime that I watched was Part 4, and that's just because I like JoJo, because it's fucking dumb, and I love dumb things.
Dude, Part 5 is way better.
I know, I'm just saying the last anime that I watched was Part 4, because that's the most recent one.
Honestly,
Part 6 is awful.
Personally. Part 6 is alright.
Part 6, it's not great at the beginning, but it gets better as it goes on,
Until the end.
We definitely need to get a redemption for when One Punch Man Season 3 comes out. Because, especially what's going on once they finish up with the Monster Association arc that's going on and what's happened, absolutely hype for...
Let's not talk about One Punch Man spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about spoilers for anything.
Unless it's important.
Unless it's important, yes. Unless it's important to the conversation. Let's avoid spoilers.
Speaking of anime, Berserk hasn't gotten a good adaptation since the one of the 90s, where it's all full
page. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, what did he find? He finally got off the boat, like, this year, didn't he? The manga itself isn't even doing great.
About 2 years ago, I believe.
Was it two years ago?
Yeah.
It's because
the creator
wants to focus on a show about idol girls.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that's true. Freaking Kentaro Miura is a idol head. Why?
I don't know.
That's kind of funny.
I mean, it's kind of... Man, I remember Berserk got on a boat, and then a friend started reading Hunter x Hunter because he heard it was really good. And then they got on a boat too.
Yeah. Well, it's because I cannot remember his name. The man who writes Hunter x Hunter is like dying. So
I've heard it's both him dying and sometimes he's lazy.
Yeah, but I mean that's.
So it's my understanding that sometimes he'll take a break because he's sick, and sometimes he'll take a break because he just wants to play Dragon Quest all day.
Yeah.
However, if he does die or becomes too ill to, well, work, his wife, she wrote Sailor Moon, by the way.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Imagine that. I wouldn't mind that at all. That's pretty sweet. Sailor Moon is... I watched that as a kid, like when I was in like kindergarten, and I had no idea what was going on. Because the bus would always come before the episode finishes, so I just never finished the episodes. And plus, it was the really stupid dub from Deke or whatever,
mm-hmm.
where they tried to make it like an educational show. My sister loved it. She was in high school. Anyways, let's move on to the next topic. I don't have a next topic. Crap.
Oh.
All right.
Is there anything y'all want to talk about personally?
No. Maybe.
Let's see here. A little bit of a thing, Monster Hunter.
Monster
Hunter. I used to play a lot of Monster Hunter. Now I don't.
I'm not a huge fan of Monster Hunter personally.
The most recent update that ended up coming out with Alatreon coming to the game came out recently, and let's just say. He's been a bit of a controversy.
Hey, you cut out again, man.
He's controversial.
The newest monster that that's come out for Monster Hunter World has pretty much been very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial in what way?
Okay, so the actual fight, I've gone through it. It's kind of like a souped-up version of the original. He's able to use all five elements now, and he can just he can inflict you with all these blights, but for the most part, it's fine. Except for his ultimate attack, which, from what I've seen, it's just a set amount of damage that's completely unavoidable. You don't have anything that, with monster would just do like a giant AoE explosion. You'd have something to like hide by or avoid death. You'd basically have to try and out heal this entire explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way, and from what I've seen, like at max power, this explosion does like 400 damage, which is like you're basically going to die. Yeah. And the only way to it's not as bad to deal with is by attacking it with only elemental weapons and trying to break off the horns.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that it's because of this one system where you basically have to focus on just dealing elemental damage instead of like being able to just go gung-ho with whatever you usually play around with.
I mean, that's just kind of how games are when you reach the end game. You can no longer mess around with off-meta stuff. You have to use the best, the most effective for whatever the end game activity is. That's just kind of how it is. And Monster Hunter's too, especially with World becoming more and more like an MMO.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen, it's like you have to use, there are specific weapons that scale with elemental damage that basically make the whole fight kind of not playable. So whatever your usual style, like me, who's using a great sword, that doesn't really work well with Alatreon.
I mean, that's just how it is, man. I mean, I'm sorry that you can't play with your usual greatsword too, but I mean,
I mean, it's like, ha ha. They're like, ha ha, me go, me smash you with a 10-foot sword.
Yeah, I know. I used to play a lot of Monster Hunter. I made greatsword back then.
But, you know, I'm trying to adapt, you know, but I really want to try and get a lot of the new gear that's with it and stuff and all that stuff. Because I'm trying to see, trying to experiment with, like, builds and everything since I'm trying to get back into playing it after a while, after waiting for a while.
So, yeah, so let's
start. That's just about it.
So another thing I do want to talk about is actually the Steam sale. Have y'all gotten anything this past summer Steam sale? I know summer's still going on, but the Steam sale certainly isn't.
There you go. Let me see what's on. What kind of deals are up at the moment? Because
there's no deals anymore, man.
I haven't gotten anything personally, but I have a few recommendations for everyone if they'd like to hear it.
Go ahead. List them out.
First things first, Super Hot Mind Control Delete is coming out very soon, and that game is good. The original Super Hot is super good, and Mind Control Delete is just more of that, and it's good.
Yes, I have played Super Hot. It's the most innovative first-person shooter
I've ever played. It's the most innovative first-person shooter I've played in years. Have you seen this new game? It's called Super Hot. It's the most innovative first-person shooter I've played in years. Check it out. Here's a link. Yes. The other one that I want to recommend to everyone everywhere, because I love this game, and it's not for everyone, but I want to recommend it anyway, is Noita, which is N-O-I-T-A, which is Finnish for the word witch.
I've heard of it.
It's very good. It's the tagline. What is the tagline? The game where every pixel is simulated. It's like those old powder games that you used to play that we all played on the school computers. Remember that game that we all played?
But now it's
that, but it's a roguelike. It's a very good game, and that is also coming to 1.0 very soon. It's a very good game. I highly recommend it, and it has not gotten as much recognition as I think it deserves. I think it deserves more recognition than it's gotten.
I think it will, once the game comes out.
Yeah, I think once it hits 1.0, it's definitely going to get another boom in popularity. Because it had a big explosion of popularity when it hit one of its first major updates, and people were like, hey, this game is pretty interesting, and... Or, like, when it first came out, really, it had a big explosion of people being like, hey, what's this game? And then when people started learning things about the game, they were like, hey, this game is really, really interesting, and you should check it out. And then I think when it hits 1.0, it's going to have another resurgence, hopefully, because I think it should, because I think it's really good.
So
those are my two recommendations.
So there's two major games being advertised right now on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
The first of which is, obviously, Death Stranding on PC.
Mm-hmm. I like it, but it's definitely not for everyone. But personally, I really like it.
The second one is Halo 3.
Very good. Though I personally don't like it, but I understand why it's very good. I just don't like first person shooters. To be perfectly honest, I'm just not good at them.
Around and you hang out.
But I understand how good it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I prefer Halo 2's gameplay itself, but Halo 3 is. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd argue the Halo series was the birth of the AAA experience.
Yeah. Honestly,
I could give it that. Yeah,
I can't really go back to any sort of first person shooter after Doom Eternal, especially with how that's basically treated me. My primal instinct of run around shooting, thinking on the fly and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played Quake 3, though?
The influential shooter of influential shooters.
Yeah, so
everything Doom if you think Doom Eternal is fast, you should play Quake 3 against some Quake gods. Ugh.
Quake gods, basically, it's like
the least fun experience you'll ever have playing a first-person shooter.
It's because they know the entire map inside and out.
Yeah. I mean, that game is so old.
They basically have this entire route of, where do I go find the rocket launcher, the sniper rifle, the mega health, the quad damage, everything.
Point, you may as well put Quake 3 on the list of solved games.
Yes, right beside Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Plays.
Yeah, kind of.
Three lives, no item.
Melee is extremely solved. Come on.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. It's not. It's
the last like major tech. Like, I don't play Melee or Smash competitively, for that matter. But from what I've read from people that I know, apparently the last major like tech they found in Smash was having the perfect controller have some sort of manufacturing defect in order to execute moves more properly. I don't even know.
Yeah, but it's super that busted. Point,
yeah. When a game reaches that point, it's solved.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah.
It's insane.
I mean,
also, Halo 3 is $10.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
Now that's a good bargain right there.
If you never played it, go get it. That's our recommendations.
Also, as my kind of shill as a fan of the series, always go get the Yakuza.
Yes. Yakuza fans must promote Yakuza forever so that someone will play Yakuza.
I'm still waiting for 2 to come onto the Xbox along with 3 through 6. Because
he's every other Yakuza fan.
Yes. I remember Yakuza used to be Japanese exclusive for the longest time.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
I've thought about the game since the PS2 era.
Which is part of why Yakuza fans have been clamoring for so long, is because it's like, this series is really good, please localize it so we can play it.
Here,
oh, there you go, that's a game that came out, recently, last year, which was... took a million years to localize. Published by FromSoft, though not technically made by them. Metal Wolf Chaos.
Yeah.
No, Metal Wolf Chaos, one of the best stupid games ever made. Do you want to play as the President of the United States in a mech suit fighting
American game
fighting terrorists? Yeah.
He's not fighting terrorists. He's fighting terrorists.
He's fighting the vice president who is trying to conduct a violent coup.
Imagine, playing it.
Richard!
Yes, Rich!
Joe Biden!
Yes.
I am Barack Obama. And you know why I'm doing this? Because I'm the goddamn...
It's like a big old carnival. It's like Mardi Gras in New York or something. My little pet. The people of New York are festively running around for their lives.
This is about as bad of a time as Taco Night at James Earl Jones's house.
Exactly. Anyway, yeah, so that game rules. God. It's super stupid and cheesy, and it's hilarious.
Can I give some Can I give some recommendations of my own?
Hell yeah.
No, you can't. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna do it anyways. This guy...
Disgaea.
Have you heard of the Disgaea series? I'm sure you guys have.
I have. I've heard very highly of the Disgaea series, in fact.
Mm.
Play it.
Yes. From the people who've played it, all I've heard is, hey, you should play it. And I'm like, okay, I might do that at some point if I get around to it.
So
I still have to play Danganronpa, man.
Well, if you ever play Disgaea, you can just forget about playing Danganronpa.
Danganronpa.
So basically, Disgaea 1 and 2 and 5 are on Steam.
Ooh.
And I was recently gifted Disgaea 2 from a friend in real life because he knows that I love these games. Thankfully. I'm not going to say his name, but thank you very much. But I will say that Disgaea 2 is probably like one of the best ones, but if you can get 5, you should probably play that instead.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the games are necessarily related to one another. They're in the same mm-hmm. universe, and it's not like rebooted or anything, but you don't have to play the older games to enjoy the newer ones. It just might be hard to go back to the older ones from the newer ones.
Right, right, right.
So yeah, if you play through the normal campaign, it's a reasonably balanced game, unless you know how to. Once post game unlocks, that's where the real game, and it
mm-hmm.
like the entire game goes off the rails. It's actually insane. The max level mm-hmm. cap, I believe, is level 9,999.
Nice, that's fun.
You'll beat the game at around level like 95 to 100.
Fun. Okay. All right. I'm a fan.
It's also a turn-based strategy game, much like Fire Emblem mm-hmm. or Final Fantasy Tactics. Mm-hmm. And tactics are kind of important early game, but like, you know, once you hit the post game and you start really playing the real game, tactics go out the window.
Just spam mm-hmm. one move over and over again.
Well, no, not necessarily. It's about cheesing the system as hard as you can.
Right, right.
Which I guess is still tactics, but still.
Just like Yakuza. As a reminder, the Tiger Drop is a completely non-OP move. I don't care if it suddenly deletes a opponent's health bar in one go as a counterattack.
So my question is, are there any games that you guys want or are looking forward to?
This comes as half of a recommendation and half of something I'm looking forward to. DreadX Collection 2 is already in development, even though DreadX Collection 1 like just came out like 2 months ago or something, which was a short game jam project quote-unquote inspired by PT. In the sense that it's all a whole bunch of indie devs being like, here's a short, like, playable teaser for a video game idea, and they may or may not become full video games. Some of them are just fun ideas, and some of them may become real games. And that has a bunch of fun little horror games in it, and they're making a second one with a bunch of popular developers. Airdorf were the people who made Faith, which is a very unique horror game, which is basically what if there was a horror game on the Atari, is what Faith is. So they basically said, how can we make an older horror game? So they made a horror Tiger Electronics game. Or a Game & Watch, if you wanna. Game & Watch Tiger Electronics LCD. One of those LCD games.
Like what?
It's a bunch of experimental, basically horror game pitches. Essentially, they're not full games. And there's a second one coming soon. And I know the person who made World of Horror is doing a short game for that. World of Horror is also good.
Oh, World of Horror is such a good game.
World of Horror is very good. That's another recommendation for you.
Personally, I'm waiting for Cyberpunk 2077 yes. coming out because
everyone's waiting for Cyberpunk 2077.
Because from what I've been seeing and the fact that it's been in that this is Project CD Red we're talking about that
yes.
usually does these games, people have said that The Witcher 3 was a very top notch game. Mm-hmm. I've been playing that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely pretty good, really mm-hmm. good stuff, and I'm personally just really excited to try and get into something new and unique
yeah.
with everything.
Yeah. Cyberpunk's a good game. Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like one.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's also based off of a...
Tabletop, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like D&D. And yeah. also Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. I mean, he's great.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm what am I looking forward to? Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to the 1.0 release of this one game that I have called have you ever heard of the Record of Lodoss anime?
I have not.
Record of Lodoss?
Record of Lodoss War. So basically, it's an old anime series based off of it started as a novel series first. It was based on the author's own D&D experiences in Japan.
Okay, I'm seeing it.
But this game's a Metroidvania. It looks pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
Does it have like D&D type mechanics going on with it?
The Metroidvania, I wouldn't say, but I mean
it would be interesting.
But it's more so based on the experience rather than the game, like an actual D&D game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, it would be something cool that I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of which, do you guys have 100% orange juice?
I do not.
I cannot play it. I cannot play it because I am only Mac.
Dude, you can't. What? You can run PC games on your Mac. You know that, right?
Yeah, but it's only a Windows thing.
Dude, you can run Windows on your Mac.
Yeah, but I don't want to know. I don't want to try and mess around with how the hell to do that.
Dude, it's not that hard. Just Google it. I might be speaking as someone that like builds PCs and like does this sort of like tinkering stuff all the time. And that I'm in the process of building a custom water-cooled PC. Come on, man. Actually, I'm pretty sure there's like a version of wine for I'm pretty sure there's a version of wine on the Mac.
I don't know.
Wine? Why would you want to drink wine on Mac?
Okay. All right. I see where you're going with this. Uh-huh. So I'm just going to cut that out. Right. I'm going to tell you to cut that out right now. So essentially, wine is a set of like Windows libraries that are like open sourced and made for use on Linux or also Mac. And essentially, it lets you run Windows applications. Actually, you know what? I'm pretty sure Steam has something called Proton.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Proton actually works on Mac, but That's weird. Let me see if it works. I'd be more than willing to help you out, mate. Because 100% orange juice is pretty freaking good. You should get it too, by the way, Claude.
Plus, since there's a bunch of other games that I already got in my Steam library that I can't play without like Windows and stuff.
Yeah.
I was gifted 100% orange juice a long time ago by a friend. I don't know where she went. But essentially, get it.
All right.
I'm trying to get some other people to get it too. And yeah, they should get it too. Especially if you're like in the audience. If you like the game, if you like Mario Party, but you hate Mario, then get it.
And it's got like a bunch of anime girls in it and stuff.
That's not the selling point of this game.
Isn't it?
And I remember someone on one of the other on Discord saying to get it because it was like $2 at one point.
I'm pretty sure that was probably me too.
Yeah.
Anyways, I would be more than willing to help you get Proton working on your Mac. Or
like messing around with tech.
Or I could help you get wine on your Mac. Yeah.
We'll see, man. But
all right.
Anything else?
Nope.
Oh.
Here. Let me link this for you. It's called Play on Mac. And try it out. Just follow the instructions. Yeah. I hear it's quite good.
Have you tried it out though?
No. But it's just a version of Wine. Wine is safe to use on your Linux PC.
Completely safe, you're saying?
Yes, it's open source too.
Alright, I'll try and give it a try.
I mean, come on. The worst that can happen is something happens and you have to reformat your computer. But that's not that hard, is it?
Well, when you're talking to someone who doesn't really know how to really mess around with that stuff.
But, I mean, it's not permanent. You can always uninstall it. Anyways, I think that's it for our podcast, which it's been going on for an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, just about.
Gotta be a big beefy one.
I have a lot of things coming, and I'm gonna give you guys a super juicy tip on what I'm gonna be reviewing next. Razer released a 60% keyboard called the Razer Huntsman Mini. Ever heard of it?
So a new keyboard?
Yes.
It is a new keyboard.
New keyboard.
I just ordered one.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be coming out on Friday, so I'm going to be spending all my time reviewing it. And
nice.
It's awesome. It's
good. Everyone look forward to that.
Yes.
That's gonna be-
and watch the video or else.
Just watch it. Watch it, you know, support the channel, you know.
Yeah, support the channel or else I will come for you in your sleep.
Oh, come on, Claw. Don't say stuff like that.
Yeah, Cloud. You can't say stuff like that.
Don't call me Cloud.
Come on.
Okay. But, you know, just kind of watch it.
Support the channel if you want to.
Alright.
Smash that like button, all that stuff.
Yeah, ring that bell.
Nah.
Can we hit 30 million likes?